Hi, I'm Kevin Hardy, former All-Pro linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, along with future All-Pro linebacker Miles Jack and P&G Sweet Stakes Who Make the Pick winner Michael Garcia.
With the 103rd pick of the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Sheldon Day, defensive tackle, Notre Dame.
One of the best defensive linemen in the country, senior from Indianapolis, two-time captain at Notre Dame. There have been only 21 players in the history of... Swoops feeling the pressure, steps up and down he goes. That was Isaac Rochelle and Sheldon Day right in his grill.
Sheldon Day just throws his man to the side and gets to the quarterback.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Jeff Lagerman.
Mike Dempsey, Jeff Lagerman, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Glad you're along on this Tuesday. Logs in studio, still over at 1010XL, although it's just about done at the radio studio
getting
now.
Close,
Jeff.
Yeah, it's getting close.
$15,000 on that desk.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for the set. You know, they started it last night. They didn't really announce it, but Jaguars Monday was streamed on Jaguars.com.
Guinea pigs is what you are.
Yeah, they wanted to kind of go through some of the mechanics of it, and then starting next week, pretty much everything. Radio is going to be now streamed on Jaguars.com.
Tell me about it. I'm not pleased whatsoever.
Why?
I can't pick my nose.
I know. I got you.
You know, those kind of things. That's all. I mean... otherwise, it's going to look spectacular. It really did. They did a great job.
They still got a lot of work to do with the backdrop. You know, they're finishing up the walls because they were getting stuff in and out and closing one door off. But it's going to be I think it's going to be a great thing for the fans because, you know, now with the radio shows that we're doing, like the Gus Bradley show, for example, if we have topics that we can provide video to support it, we will do that.
Sure.
You know, so I'm really looking forward to that because now it's not going to be just people in front of a camera. I mean, it's going to be more to that.
Right. There's going to be a production value, right?
Absolutely.
They're not just setting up a little webcam and letting it roll, right?
No,
there's like a director's room where they've got everything going on. I saw them kind of working out some of the shots this past Sunday night, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think there's like four cameras in there. They look like R2-D2s.
Yeah, little R2-D2s on tripod.
Yeah.
Right? Little R2-D2 heads. I would think for $15,000 that thing would come with four-wheel drive, but apparently not.
It's going to have some bells and whistles now.
It does have a few, but man, $15,000 for a desk. I was in the wrong business, Tony. I should have been a desk maker.
I'll give you just a little heads up. Don't attempt to put a drink or a cup on the desk.
Oh, I've heard. Right.
Ooh, buddy.
I've heard. Although I've heard as well, as long as you got a little cap on your bottle, they might let you slide on that. They get on Fred Taylor's case. When they get on Freddie's case, I know I've got no argument, no leg to stand on. So JP's already put that little hidden mini table behind the console so we can keep our purple drank down there, Tony.
That's a lot of formica, baby.
All right, Logs. You know, let's start with a guy we just heard in the open, Sheldon Day, who we haven't seen in the preseason. Do you hear anything about, you know, what a timetable might be for him? Or do you think at this point he could be a candidate to go on IR and maybe potentially miss the season, knowing, though, you know, with the new rules in the NFL, you don't have to designate a player for return, but you put him on IR and you can bring one back at some point this year. Is he a candidate for that? What are you hearing?
Well, I think he might be. You know, it's sooner or later you got to make a decision because, I mean, you got to go into the season with expectations that people are going to be available. You know, so you've got a couple other candidates, you know, you'd like to be able to even consider or you would like to consider for the return from the IR designation.
Sample went on today.
Sample would be one. Bowanko would be another. If you had an issue, you know, with Brandon Linder or Shatley, you know, a young player, Woodard, you know, if everybody stays healthy, here's a chance to get him back, you know, from an Achilles tear and maybe allow him to get some practice reps in. To where the first year doesn't go by without having any experience whatsoever in the NFL.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of different guys to do that with, but it would be nice not to have to use that designation on Sheldon Day and have him available because, you know, he showed some good things, but, you know, in a very limited amount because,
right.
you know, I mean, when the pads came on, it wasn't long after that he hurt his back.
Exactly. But, you know, that could just be bad circumstance. He was getting praise, Tony. We talked to vets and
yep.
young players, coaches, everybody. Who stands out? Sheldon Day. Man, that Sheldon Day
Everyone
guy
Everyone
who sat good.
Down with us, whether it was Gus Bradley or Telvin Smith, whoever sat down with us, we'd ask, you know, who's standing out in front of you? And Sheldon Day's name would come up. And I wonder with... You know, the possibility they haven't obviously announced that he's going on IR or anything at this point. Something we were talking about before the show was a guy like Richard Ash,
yep.
who has flashed, it seems like, in all three preseason games, has been solid through training
yeah.
camp. Does that open the door for him
yeah.
at all?
You know, I like Richard as a nose tackle.
Right, I understand. He's not you a three technique.
But he's nowhere near the class of a Sheldon Day. You know,
understand they're different, but in terms of, let's say, if it did open that spot up, right, and we've been counting 10 defensive linemen, Tony and I have, right, among the guys you're going to keep: Fowler, Malik, Roy Miller, Audric, Ngakoue, Marks, Avery Jones, Tyson Alualu, Sheldon Day, and Michael Bennett, the guys that we think have been the best bets if you're keeping 10, right?
Yeah, and I don't know about Michael Bennett, and I don't know about Tyson Alualu. You know, I mean, how are you going to get him active on game day? I mean, Sendarek Marks has returned playing better. I think Sendarek and Tyson are very similar type players. They can play the same positions. Michael Bennett, I would put in that category. And that's a lot of guys now.
I understand.
You know, so that's
what about Chris Smith? Where's Chris Smith in the mix?
I think Chris Smith is in a battle for a backup Leo spot. And I think that battle kind of exists was Ryan Davis.
And to count them as a Leo, because I heard you guys discussing this on the broadcast the other night, you know, if you depend, it's kind of a shell game. Are you counting them as linebackers? Are you counting them as defensive linemen in the case of Davis?
Yeah, and I think Ryan Davis will probably be more of a Leo type. I wouldn't count him as a true linebacker. Chris Smith probably falls in the same category because, I mean, in reality, on game day, what role are they going to fulfill?
Rush the passer.
No.
Special teams.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know, so I mean, I think that's where it's going to come down to between those two guys. And Chris Smith has shown some things, but Ryan Davis has proven some things in the past. I think the one thing that might hurt Ryan Davis just a little bit is that his strength has always been as an interior pass rusher. Well, now you got, you know, Malik Jackson,
yeah.
Sendarek Marks has returned. You have Sheldon Day. You know, so. You know, can Ryan Davis have an impact at that Leo spot? You know, if you watch and see where he's been playing at in the preseason games, he's getting a lot of snaps at defensive end, and he's getting some reps as a defensive tackle. So that's, you know, it's difficult to kind of put people in each category because some have crossover, and then you also have to factor in special teams because that's the ultimate decision with a lot of these guys because you're putting them on the 53 to be able to warrant having them active on a game day situation.
Sure. All right. Look, we got a lot to get to from Sunday Night Football after you popped in the tape. We'll see. Maybe it wasn't as bad as it looked to the naked eye
well,
at times.
You know, it's always, you know, your reaction after the game is, well, man, that was bad. Or, man, that was really good. And it always falls somewhere to the lesser of that extent. And I think Sunday, you know, game, the initial thought after the game, and then Monday, very early morning, you know, limited sleep Sunday night, you know, 7:30 in there watching the tape yesterday. And your reaction is, man, it wasn't so bad. But there were some things that weren't so good either. You know?
Oh, we'll get to a bunch of them on both sides, good and bad, and where they stand right now, because we're not going to see most of the frontline guys, you would think, on Thursday night. You got to play some, probably, you know, maybe some of your offensive linemen. We'll get to all that coming up. Jeff Logman's here with us. Tony, question of the day is out there. We're looking for a pleasant surprise, aren't
yeah.
we? Right? Through 3 weeks of preseason and all this training camp, and really up to this point, which Jaguar has been the most pleasant surprise to you since they entered training camp in 2016? Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Logs56, LOGS56, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, where we also posted yesterday about our fantasy leagues, which are be drafting next week, and how you can get in. All that information's on the Jaguars Today Facebook page and also in our Twitter timelines as well. Me and Tony, mine automatically tweeted it out last night. Tony retweeted it today. It's got everything in there you need to know to potentially get a spot in one of the two leagues. We'll be drafting next Tuesday Wednesday nights.
We're testing reading comprehension.
Yes, we are. Please read thoroughly the post and what we need in terms of your contact information and things like that. I love I get the one-paragraph emails on, you know, why I deserve a spot in your league. Don't know who you are? Don't have any way to get in touch with you other than through this email. So just please read and look what we're looking for. And we're not trying to make it tricky for anybody. And apologies in advance because we're only going to have so many spots. And we're going to have, but we've already gotten more interest than we have spots available. But we're going to let it roll for a couple of days. And then maybe Thursday or Friday, I'll determine who's going to get the invites. And we'll be drafting next Tuesday at 8 p.m. and Wednesday at 10 p.m. And you need to indicate if you're available for either or both of those drafts. You can only be in one, but just want to know what your availability is as we start slotting people for next week. All right, coming up, we'll talk with Logs. We'll take your calls at 641-1010 and also your texts at the same number on the text line driven by Duval Ford. You know how to get in touch with the program via social media, so hop on board. It's Jaguars Today. Jeff Loggeman, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go. Jeff Loggeman is in studio here with us at 1010XL World Headquarters. We know you got questions. He's got answers. He's popped in the film. He does it every week. And we'll talk with Jeff every Tuesday from now, right up until about the Super Bowl. It's what we've been doing for the last few years.
Before you guys go on the road?
That's right. We'll hit the road. Have the Super Bowl tickets, the pre-sales slowed down based on the third preseason game? We're all going to Houston, right? Well, Tony and I are still going. I don't know about everybody else.
I said this last night on Jaguars All Access. That might be the best thing that happened to this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, three slices of humble pie.
Right.
You know, because, you know, first of all, they're feeling confident. Talking about we just need to work on consistency. Well, no, you need to work on other things too. You start reading about how much improved you are. You start listening to fans. You start listening to Peter King.
Jeff, they don't pay attention to the media.
Yeah, that's what they tell you. That's what they tell you. But, you know, it's human nature.
Sure.
You know, so I don't want to say I was glad that happened because, you know, you want to have a good experience and good exposure in the national spotlight.
But a little bit of a reality check.
But, I mean, nobody's going to remember the preseason games.
Not if you perform well.
Absolutely
right.
Not. So I like the fact that they've gotten a big, fat piece of humble pie. You know, and I think that that's going to be good for this team. I think it's good for the staff. I think it's good for the organization.
Okay.
Well, put your nose back to work. Let's go.
Well, people say, you know, can you fix what was wrong in 2 weeks? Well, I mean, you do this on a week-to-week basis in the National Football League, right? You're going to have those weeks where you look like the dregs or as bad as you can look, and a lot of teams are able to bounce back a week later, right? So
right.
Is there anything unfixable, or what is the biggest concern you have coming out of that game, I guess?
Well, let me start with this, though. You go back to 96, you know, when we were, you know, second-year expansion team. And I'll never forget this because we go to Denver. We recently acquire Clyde Simmons. And Clyde Simmons is brought to Denver. They ship Corey Mayfield home, defensive tackle, from the hotel. I mean, talk about, you know, you're talking about Bjorn Werner getting released on his birthday. How about Corey Mayfield at the time?
Already in the Mile High stage.
He was, you know, getting his mind right for a game. He's in Denver, and they get him a plane ticket home from Denver. And Clyde Simmons comes in. He doesn't have his equipment from where he had come from.
Where was he, in Philly before?
I can't remember if he was in Philly at that time or Arizona.
Okay.
So he comes in. They actually have equipment for him because they were anticipating the trade, and they just wanted to have him suit up. Well, they tell him he's not going to play. He ended up playing like 25 snaps in that ball game. And I'll never forget the look on Clyde's face because at halftime we were getting hammered by the Denver Broncos. I mean, hammered. Tom Coughlin comes in and he was fuming. And he takes his arm across this table that was filled with Gatorade and water in Gatorade cups. And it flies everywhere, including on Clyde Simmons. And Clyde and me are sitting in a locker next to each other. And he turns and he looks at me and goes, is it like this all the time? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go into the season in 96. Well, we continued to get better. And then, you know, we go to Denver and we beat Denver in an incredible upset game. One of the greatest upsets in NFL history. You know, so one preseason game is not necessarily an indicator of what regular season success is going to be, because, you know, it's hard to evaluate preseason because what are the calls? What are the personnel groupings? Who are you playing? Who's it against? There's so many different things. But the one-to-one evaluation in the first half, we had starters against starters. It's fair to say it's apples to apples to some extent. But there's also certain calls that they make offensively, certain calls that they make defensively that they may not do in the regular season. So you got to kind of take it with a little bit of a grain of salt.
All right. Yesterday and Sunday, immediately in the aftermath, you know, I can't say it enough. I'm not a great evaluator of offensive line play, but I know when somebody dominates his opponent, I know when somebody gets dominated, right, and on a particular play. The rest of the nuances I leave to the pros like you. But to the naked eye, it looked like Luke Joeckel had a terrible first half. Now, sure. Granted, down in, down out, that's not always the case, but oftentimes all it takes is one or two big plays given up to have, yeah, you know,
but
have
because
that.
Offensive linemen, you don't even want to hear about them.
Right, you don't want to hear about them at all, right? No. I mean, same thing, like a defensive end might get stymied on 19 plays on the 20th, he gets a sack, and you're like, hey, he's having
a great
half,
game.
Right? There you go.
Yeah,
so,
that's the way it is.
When you popped in the tape on Luke Joeckel, what did you see?
Had two bad plays. Two plays that really stood out.
The first, just to be clear, because most people think there were three. The first one, you think he tripped, right?
Yeah,
or
the
he did
first
trip
one
on
where,
Linder's foot.
The first one was Geno Atkins, which, you know, I think they had an ISO camera, I guess, on that, to where he gets bull rushed and ends up on his butt, kind of at the lap of Blake Bortles. You know, when he goes to take the power of Geno Atkins, which, by the way, Geno Atkins is really good.
He's like,
one of the best
player,
in the league.
Sure, there's no question.
You know, probably one of the top three defensive tackles in the game. So, you know, very tough matchup. He goes to bull Luke. When Luke goes to set the anchor, his right foot hits Brandon Linder's foot, and he can't get it back to be able to set the anchor. Would Luke have gotten knocked back into the quarterback? Probably so, as far as maybe pushed back into the quarterback, but not
but
like
not
that.
But not thrown
no,
like he was.
No, not like that, because you look at other plays where Geno powered him, and he sat it down, and he did pretty good. The play against Michael Johnson, the defensive end that bull rushed him, bad play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bad play. I mean, there's no excuses for Luke on that. You got to be able to do better than that because Michael Johnson is an average player.
And he's more of a run stuffer. He's been, hasn't he? Been?
He's kind of an all around player, but he's not great in anything. You know, but he's a good
solid
player. Yes,
okay.
Good solid.
All right, so bad, terrible play. Whatever.
The other one was when Geno Atkins gets into the backfield and Brandon Linder's blocking him. Luke, he whiffed. You know, you've got to get a piece of Geno Atkins before you go up to the next level, and he got nothing. I mean, nothing. And then there was another instance where he needed to continue to push out towards I think it was Geno, to where Beecham is blocking him to get more of him before he goes up to the second level of linebacker. But, you know, those two plays that you're talking about, the whiff on Geno Atkins, look, Geno's quicker and all get out. But then also you factor in how limited his reps were at guard leading up to this game. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks back in that, you know, this injury to Josh Wells does not help this football team. And I'm not talking from the standpoint of Josh Wells is going to potentially be your swing tackle, because that's a factor too. But the biggest factor was Josh Wells being healthy would have allowed Luke Joeckel to get more reps at left guard leading up to this game. Whereas once Josh Wells got hurt, Luke Jokel's reps were almost exclusively at left tackle. You know, and it's hard to simulate and hard to not have some type of reps, especially going into a game against Geno freaking Atkins. He's a really good player.
All right, before I get to the big picture question then about the offensive line, Calvin Beecham. To Tony and I tried to discuss, and we're like, you know, it didn't seem like he did anything that stood out negatively, majorly, when you watched it and really slowed it down. What did you see out of him?
I saw the player, you know, the player that we watched in Pittsburgh. Got great feet. He's got great balance. He never gets overextended. He's got very good hands. The one negative that I would say is that the finishing part with power was a little off, but that's to be expected. I mean, this is the guy's first game action coming back from an ACL. So I think for him, that was a great start. He had 26 snaps, counting penalty plays and everything else, 26 snaps before he came out of the game. You could see a little fatigue start to set in, but that's to be expected also. So for me, that was a great start for Kelvin Beachum. Having been through an ACL myself before, I understand what it's like. And so I was very happy for him, very happy for his production, and I think he's only going to get better the more he gets under his belt, the more that he can recover. And he's going to have to be somebody that's going to be monitored throughout the early part of the season to where you make sure that he's ready for game day. But I said this last night, with the limited snaps that Luke Jokel has had at left guard, the limited amount of time that Kelvin Beachum has had at left tackle, I am not going to panic, but I am concerned because of the limited amount of reps that they've had together and the limited amount of snaps that they've taken, period, this preseason at their prospective positions.
All right, hold that thought. Let's hear Luke Jokel was asked about his comfort level about playing left tackle compared to playing left guard.
Is it fair to say that that you look or still seem a little bit more comfortable at tackle than you do at guard?
Definitely more comfortable at tackle. That's where I've played my entire life. It's got to get more comfortable at guard. Got to be better at guard. When I'm in there, I got to be the best guard I can be. If I'm at tackle, I'd be the best tackle I could be. And, there's not excuses. Just got to keep getting reps, keep taking advantage of every rep I get, either position, and, got to gain more comfort quickly. And, I expect more from myself. But, go back, look at tape. They had a good defensive front. But, we expect better of ourselves, and we can't make the mistakes we made.
All right, Log, big picture, in your opinion, as it stands at this moment, did the starting five we saw on Sunday night, will that be the starting five offensive linemen when they play against Green Bay?
That's a great question. I don't know. Do you put in a guy who's had 26 snaps going into the opener and expect him to play an entire game? Do you play a left guard that has had limited snaps at left guard throughout the preseason? That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, and I think that that's not going to be an easy decision for the coaching staff. Now, what do I expect? They're committed. They're committed to having that be their five guys.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, it's about winning. Okay.
Sure.
So there's two ways to think about it. What's the best combination for us to go into Green Bay with to win, or what's the best combination for us to be the best that we can be once we get into the season? And that's a difficult question. If you went around the league and you surveyed 32 personnel guys and asked them, or 31, because, Dave Caldwell, obviously, and you even ask him. But if you ask 32 guys, you may get 32 different answers. And if you ask 32 coaches, you may get 32 different answers and combinations of what the solution may be. So is there a right answer? I don't think there is a right answer. Is there a wrong answer? I don't think there's a wrong answer.
And I think you pointed at something there that we haven't talked about a ton because we've been going through the preseason, but the idea of, we've been asking these guys to play 25, 30 snaps a game, and in a couple weeks they're going to have to get through an entire game, and that's even more of a difficult process for a guy like Beachum, who's coming off the ACL, really hasn't participated all that much in camp until the last week, and has played in one preseason game. The idea of, we're going to put him out there at left tackle, and we expect him to be able to go the entire game, maybe a lot to ask.
In 90-plus degree temperatures, where a typical game for a side of a ball can go anywhere between 60 and 80, 85 snaps in a game. So you go 26 to, 65 or 80, that's a big difference now. It's a very big difference. And that's the biggest adjustment from preseason to regular season for guys that are healthy.
But let's say he doesn't. Let's say they say, okay, he's not ready to open up the season. At some point, right, you're going to go from not playing in a game to playing, because offensive linemen don't rotate in and out, right? So at some point, they would have to get him ready through practice reps, right? I would say, let's say the first month of the season you thought he wasn't ready, back up to speed. But it's whenever you put him in, whether that's week five, week six, aren't you going to have this dilemma whenever that pops up that it's only practice reps that can get him ready?
Yeah, because he's not going to play this week. And people say, well, why don't you play him this week to get them more snaps?
Right.
Well, it's too quick of a turnaround
with coming off the ACL.
For an ACL guy.
Would you play Jokel at guard to get him some more reps?
I would.
Yeah.
I would because, you know, if I'm committed to that's the combination that I'm going to go with against Green Bay, you know, yeah, I'm going to get him some snaps at left guard with, you know, the understanding I'm expecting to have Kelvin Beachum available for left tackle. Now, there might be another line of thought. You know, do you go into the opener with Beachum expecting to be your left tackle and then Jokel being a backup guy, you know, because maybe, you know, Chris Reed or Mackenzie Bernardo has had more snaps at left guard. If Beachum can't go, then you can insert Luke Jokel at left tackle. So there's a lot of different ways, you know, to say this is the solution.
All right. So in other words, stay tuned, right? We know what the scenarios are. Now we got to see which one plays out for the Jaguars on September 11th. All right, if you'd like to get in, phone lines open to you right now at 641-1010. Jeff Logman's in the house. Fat Tony is here. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Dandy sandwiches and subs, yeah, they are fantastic. I love them. Been eating them for over two decades. They've been in business for over 60 years here on the First Coast, but they're also a great option for breakfast as well. They tell me it's the most important meal of the day. Well, let me tell you what, one of the best-kept secrets in town is Dandy's breakfast sliders. You're not going to find a more economical breakfast on the go anywhere. If you haven't tried one, trust me, you'll come back for more. It's a little two-pack, but it eats big. Two thick sausage patties, each with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a fresh baked bun they call a baby brioche. It's absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. And the price, only $3. Are you kidding me? You can't beat it. I'm not a big fan of the spicy food, but this sandwich has just the right amount of kick to get you going to kickstart your day, folks. You're going to find them at Kangaroo Express. You're going to find them at Circle K or anywhere that sells those wonderful Dandy and Anytime Deli products. So whether it's breakfast, whether it's lunch, anytime you're eating on the go, do what I do, folks. Go out and make yours a Dandy. Do it today.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars made three moves to reduce the roster to 75 players. Moves that came this morning involved cutting defensive end Bjorn Warner and tight end Nick Jacobs. Safety James Sample was moved to injured reserve. Sample was a fourth-round selection by the Jaguars in the 2015 NFL Draft. He was expected to compete with Jonathan Cyprian for the starting strong safety position, but he suffered a shoulder injury in preseason week one against the New York Jets. And tonight, Helmets and Heels will be live at Empire City Gastro Pub. Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson will join the ladies. Make sure to get out there. It all starts at 7 p.m. And remember, between now and September 11th, head to jaguars.com/get-in-the-game to register for your chance to be on the field during pregame festivities at our home game against the Oakland Raiders. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI.
Well, I thought our tackling was sloppy. I didn't think we got, you know, we didn't wrap up, shoulder tackled. We need to work on that. That was a big area I thought that we need to improve on.
Just a practice update coming in as the media out there to cover the first half hour of practice or whatever. Sheldon Day is participating in practice today for the first time since August 4th.
Yes.
Talking about him earlier on in the program, but he's back at practice for the first time in a few weeks.
I've wanted to see it. You know, I mean, we kept hearing all the rave reviews, Tony, during periods when we couldn't see practice. And not that we can now, but I just want to see him get that chance to get out there. Love to see him be able to play a little bit Thursday. He might be too quick if he's just getting back to practice today, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
You know, because it's not like all of a sudden they said, okay, you feel better today. I mean, he's been working up to this point, you know, you would imagine. So I'd like to see him get a few reps anyway on Thursday night.
You know, with him, I think that you feel pretty good that he's a mature player. You know, two-time captain at Notre Dame, as one of the clips earlier played. Excellent work ethic, smart player, you know. And I think when you have a player like that, you probably have a little bit more patience through the injury process to make sure he's 100% before he gets back. You know, but if he can play, he's physically able, you play him.
Right on.
Now, I'm not saying you play him 50, 60 snaps, but you get his feet wet.
Right. All right, let's get to the phone lines for the first time this morning at 641-1010. Pat is up first in Fleming Island. Pat, you're on with Jeff Logman here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I thought at the end of the first half there was a tremendous opportunity to test this team, give them confidence and make them work on that fourth and one or one and a half there with less than 2 minutes to go. They had an opportunity, first of all, to show that they can make a short yardage situation work, and then continue with a two-minute drill, which you really don't get a lot of opportunity to practice against another team. And Gus Bradley decided to send a punter in who he knew he was going to cut, rather than give this, because I think Gus knows something that we don't know, and that his team is not ready to do short route yard stuff. They don't have it. And it really bothered me that he didn't give his team a chance. In a game that doesn't count and had a tremendous opportunity, I think, there right at the end of the first half, to really give your team some confidence and find out what they're really made of.
I think that's a great point. I really do. I think that's a great observation in the preseason, in a game that doesn't mean anything, where your pitch count for your starters on offense is right there at the border. Here's an opportunity to maybe get them a few more.
No consequence for failure, really. No, I mean, it's preseason.
You know, if it's regular season, a game situation would dictate at that point where you're in, what, 34, 5-yard line, something like that, on the minus 34, minus 35. You would not do that in a regular season game, but I think that's a great point. I mean, it would have been a great situation to try. Now, I want to say something. Don't assume that Gus is thinking, well, we can't do short yardage.
Right.
That's the wrong assumption to take. I don't think that had anything to do with it whatsoever.
I think he's trying to coach it like he would coach it in a game and trying to decide what he'd do in that scenario. You need to
flip that over, you know, to the other side where Marvin Lewis decides to go for it on 4th and 5.
Right.
You know, from where was that, 45-yard line somewhere in that range. You know, would he have, or the 40-yard line, would he have done that
probably
in a regular
not.
Game situation?
Probably not.
Probably would have went ahead and punted it. But, you know, that was, and for the Jaguars defense to point out that play when you start talking about evaluation, they run like a zone blitz, okay? And the guy that ends up catching the ball is being covered by Paul Posluszny, who is sugaring on the other side. And on 4th and 5, you're not going to make that call in a regular season game. But here's another chance. Hey, let's try something different.
Right.
You know, let's try something different. Let's not show what we're going to do in the regular season. We have a new defensive coordinator. You know, so that's what I'd say. You have to take the preseason with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Pat, thank you for the call. My bigger issue was the third down play. Don't you have to run that to the sticks? I mean, you know.
Which one?
Allen Robinson caught that. Wasn't it that the play right before that, right, that set up the 4th and 1?
Yeah.
It was like a third.
Hell of a catch, by
it,
the way.
It was a contested catch, no question about it. But I'm like, I mean, I just the idea, I hate it. I know it, sometimes it's all the defense allows you is to let the guy catch it short, try to make a move, and beat a guy. There was no room to make a move there. You know, that was one of those, he's going to catch it, and he's going to get what he gets, and shouldn't those routes be designed, you know, when he, what was it, like 3rd and 4, something like that? And,
yeah, somewhere in that
and ended up running like a 3-yard route, you know, on 3rd and 4.
I'm okay with that because, you know, Allen Robinson is typically so good after the catch. You go back to the short yardage play against the Bucks to where he caught one on like a, I think it was a 3rd and 6 when Blake scrambled. He catches it and it immediately knows where to go.
It'll,
turns
yeah,
up
make
the field.
A quick turn up the field,
you know,
right.
So I'm okay with stuff like that. Now, if it's Brian Walters, you know, I don't want to see a route that's, you know, short of the sticks.
Right.
You know, or
you're
if
not
it's
counting
Allen
on
Hurns.
Him to use his strength.
But
to
if it's
break
Allen Robinson
tackle.
Or Marquise Lee, I'm okay with it because they can do some things with the ball after they get it.
6-4-1-10-10, back to the line we go. Eric is in Mandarin next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, thanks.
I just wanted to discuss real quick about the 4th and 5 lack of a timeout call. At least from my vantage point in Section 204, it looked like Paul was, because Lesney, I'm referring to, was a little confused of what was going on at the line. And from at least from where I could tell, you know, there was definitely confusion on not only the front end, but the back end. And it's been something that's been consistent throughout the entire season last year with Gus, is there's no timeouts when there needs to be a timeout. I know it's preseason, but it just gets very, very frustrating when you can tell, and everybody in my section was like, why aren't you calling a timeout here? Everybody's confused. So I just wanted to get your opinion real quick.
Okay,
that.
Thank you, Eric. What do you think, Logs?
It's a 4th and 5. I mean, there was no confusion once the ball was snapped. They were set. You know, so there's no need to call a timeout there. And as I said before, is that the call with a zone blitz on 4th and 5 that you make in the regular season? No. You know, and that's my whole point here is that, you know, preseason is an opportunity to utilize things that you want to experiment with. It's an opportunity to experiment with different personnel in different situations, much like Ngakoue playing on 1st down to start that game out, much like it was of playing guys on offense or Richard Ash on at nose tackle with the ones. Are you going to do that in a regular season? No. But the use of a timeout in that situation, you're set. You're fine. And the other thing, you know, you talk about preseason. They ran a large amount of three down. Tony brought this up. They run a large amount of three down. Is that something that they're going to do in regular season? Probably not.
Right.
You know, I mean, are they going to run three down where Malik Jackson's not in the game on third and five or third and six?
Third and anything.
Third and anything.
Right.
No. But the preseason is about getting ready for Green Bay. And so you put a package in. One, you may use it, but not in third and five and third and four, but you'd use it on third and 12 and third and 13. Here's an opportunity. We haven't used it, you know, all preseason. We need to get some snaps
at
it.
So even though the down and distance doesn't line up, you're still just going to get a look at it.
Let's get some reps at it.
Right.
Let's get some reps at it. And here's the other thing. Green Bay's watching the third preseason game very closely. I guarantee you that. Watching it very closely. New defensive coordinator. What's going to be his style? Well, guess what? He just showed that he's going to run three down on third and five or third and six. You know what they're going to prepare for? Three down on third and five and third and six.
That's why I think they ran the play to Hayes Ballard at the goal line. When they put him in there and they threw the pass, my initial reaction was, why would you show that? And I thought, no.
Showed it before with Greg Olsen and Tyson Alualu, so that's not
right,
anything.
Right, but in this, with this, we'd never seen Hayes line up right at the fullback position. He comes in there. My thinking is, well, you see the big package in there, see Ivory in the backfield, everyone knows it's going right up the gut. I thought they ran that play specifically to at least give you something else to think about the next time the Jags are in a goal line situation.
Yeah, you know what that thing to think about is? You know what the linebackers are going to be thinking when Hayes Pollard is in there? Hey, he's a viable pass option.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know what,
right,
you know what they're going to be? They're going to be thinking that when Hayes Pollard puts the face mask under their chin.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you right now, folks, wait until you see Hayes Pollard take on a linebacker.
Is that right?
Ho, ho, ho. Remember the hit that he had on Dwayne Brown last year? The Dwayne Brown tore his
quad?
That's
true.
I mean, that was like night hit.
Sure.
So it's going to be fun.
And we were talking earlier about, you know, the caller said they're scared of running short yardage or whatever. They had that opportunity down there where they could do that, even with Hayes, and show that a little bit. Instead, they ran three different plays. Then I think they really, I don't know that that's the play calling you're going to see in the regular season if they get the ball down to the 1 yard
line. All right, let me bring up one more thing about preseason and regular season. What were they really good in and good at last year in the preseason with Tyson Alualu in the backfield?
Oh, with Toby Gerhart behind him. They ran the ball very well.
The short yardage package was unbelievable.
Yeah.
What did they struggle with in a regular season?
Just look at the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Short yardage.
All right. We got to take a timeout here. If you're on the line, stay right there. We've got the state in football, the Honda drive around the NFL, and more time with Jeff Loggeman here on a Tuesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week by our friends at Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Oh, come on, get me to September, Tony, when the NFL on their own official website gives me new history tidbits every single day, but it starts September 1st. Instead, I'm stuck in the Chicago All-Star Game rut, and so is everybody else because of that. Three All-Star Games held on this date, 1939, 1944, and 1945. Guess what? The NFL champs beat the collegiate All-Stars all 3 years. Do you really care about the scores? I didn't think so, okay? Look them up yourself. Famous birthdays for this date. The 2005 NFL MVP, league rushing champ that year. Who you got, Tony Smith?
2005
league rushing champion, scored 18 touchdowns that season.
Larry Johnson.
Good guess. Good guess. Logs, you got anybody?
I have no idea.
Sean Alexander.
Okay.
Man, you go back and look at his numbers. He had about a 4 or 5 year stretch where he was just unstoppable.
Was that the year that he had like the 6 on Monday Night Football?
It may have been. He had 2,000 yards that year. He did have like a 5 or 6 touchdown game. Was it a Monday or a Sunday night game?
I
one
can't.
Of those.
I know it was
he
on
scored
my fantasy
18
roster.
Touchdowns
yeah.
that year. So very likely the case. 39 years old today. 3-time Pro Bowler, and he was a first-team All-Pro in 2005, obviously, when he won league MVP. Here's a blast from the Jaguar past, 38 years young. Elvis Joseph, former Jaguar running back in the early 2000s for a couple of seasons. Happy 38th to him. And as we noted earlier, Bjorn Werner, the 24th overall pick in the 2013 draft by the Indianapolis Colts. just got waived today by the Jacksonville Jaguars on his 26th birthday. Happy birthday, Bjorn, and good luck hooking on with somebody else and getting a chance to continue your NFL career. This Dayton Football presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you have a snore in the family, maybe it's you, the Somnomed Custom Fit Mouth Guard can be the solution for you. Call 620-9225 and set up an appointment. They're located on Gate Parkway. Very convenient. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The San Diego Chargers and third overall draft pick Joey Bosa have finally ended their stalemate, with Bosa signing a four-year deal with $17 million guaranteed in the signing bonus. Bosa reportedly compromised on the offset language, which his side has made clear that they would have done all along if the team would meet them with signing bonus money. Bosa is expected to practice today, but is not expected to play in the Chargers' fourth preseason game on Thursday night. San Diego has also cut wide receiver James Jones just 1 month after bringing him in via free agency. The whole football world seems to be weighing in on Colin Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem this past weekend. As each team opens up their locker rooms this week, reporters continue to ask prominent players about their reaction to what Kaepernick did. Steelers offensive tackle Alejandro Villanueva, who served three tours of duty as an Army Ranger, said, quote, "I will be the first one to hold hands with Colin Kaepernick and do something about the way minorities are being treated in the United States. The injustice that is happening with police brutality, the justice system, the inequalities in pay and education. I will be the first, but you can't do it by looking away from the people who are trying to protect our freedom in our country," end quote. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees more pointed in his remarks, saying, quote, "He could speak out about a very important issue, but there's plenty of other ways that you can do that in a peaceful manner that doesn't involve being disrespectful to the American flag."
All right, there you have it, Jeff. Here's one similar to this on this. People are saying, please no Kaepernick talk. Please no Kaepernick talk on the text line. This is sort of on the subject, but not really. It's a deviation. Question for Jeff on the text line driven by Duval Ford. The Kaepernick topic, something of a tender issue depending on which way you take it, but it has to be a difficult position that he forces teammates into. Have you ever been, Jeff, in a situation, been put in a situation like that by a teammate? How does someone handle something like that, being forced into an uncomfortable position of either defending a teammate they may not want to or isolating and separating them from the rest of the team? Have you ever had a teammate that you just wish, man, I wish you didn't say that because now people are coming to my locker asking me about that?
No. I mean, not to this extent. You know?
Oh, so yeah, rarely does it happen to this extent. But
yeah, I mean, it's let me say this without political correctness. You know, he has a right to do that, and I have a right to say he's a moron.
Sure you do.
You know, because what else has he done? You know, what else has he done besides not stand for the national anthem to bring any kind of attention to the issues that he's concerned about? Has he gone out in the community and done anything?
I don't know.
Has he donated his time?
He may have. I really don't know.
I'm sure if he has, it would have been covered.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, Tony and I talk about this, and I'm not trying to defend Colin Kaepernick here or blast him. You know, I think you said it the right way. It's a right to do it. You have a right to react to it choose to. There's a lot of things, and I couldn't speak for anything he's done off the field, but the Jags, every Tuesday, every day off during the season, they're, who knows, a dozen, 20 guys out in the community doing different things, you know.
Right.
And even though the Jaguars will give you that opportunity to publicize them, we don't talk about those things. You know what I mean? Because it's not, so it's quite possible. Maybe he has done something. I don't know.
Maybe he has.
I don't know. So anyway, didn't want to get too far down that road, but just wanted to pass that question along to you. 641-1010, Jerome's been hanging on the west side. We appreciate that. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
Good.
My question, or my thing is this, though. Out of all the preseason games, the third one, to me, matters the most because I think majority of your starters are playing versus the other team's majority starters. And plus a little scheme and, you know, game planning goes into it. And if that was the case, we got out-coached, out-schemed, out-game planned, and outplayed, period. And I have to... All that goes uphill, and it falls on the coaching staff for not having their team prepared. And I don't understand that we won the game and all, but that's irrelevant. What counts is when your starters are in there, and that's what matters. And to me, it's just baffling. And I don't know what else kind of players he needs now, but he has enough talent on there to make something happen. And if not, I think he needs to go, man, because I can't deal with this, yo. And then the other thing on Kaepernick, standing up for the flag is a ritual. I mean, it's a ritual. So, I mean, I don't hold that against him. I think the principle is bigger than the issue.
All right, Jerome, thank you. What about it?
He said that it matters. You know, it counts because it's the third preseason game. You got a little scheme. You got a little plan.
Counts more as an evaluation tool than any other preseason game.
They count starting next week.
I understand that.
No, but, and you've been complimentary of Olsen and the games he's called through the first couple weeks of the preseason, getting the offense into a rhythm. That didn't show up on Sunday night. Is that the game plan or what was it?
No, I mean, for me, it was that they got handled up front. You know, I mean, that's where they got beat. You know, it was up front. Both sides of the ball. The you know, you can evaluate game plan, but I mean, for me, it's about evaluation of who is against who. And the Bengals played better up front on the offensive side of the ball, and they played better up front on the defensive side of the ball. Now, as far as, you know, fourth and five or the decision to go for it on a fourth and one, I mean, those are all decisions that are different in a preseason than they would be in a regular season game. The way you play a scheme on defense is different in a third preseason game leading up to the regular season opener. But the physical part of the game, the battles in the trenches, they didn't fare as well. You know, as far as, you know, me and making a commentary about Greg Olsen about, you know, he has called a good, you know, preseason so far. I never really said that, Tony, because, I mean, to me, the preseason's not about scheme. It's not about calls. It's just about execution.
Mm-hmm.
They executed very well in the first two preseason games. Now, you can't take the third preseason game and say, well, this is the only true indicator of where they are. You can't say that the first one, the second one, they don't matter. It's only the third one. No, it's not the case. You got to take all of it into consideration.
All right. I'm sorry. Were you done?
Here's the thing. Okay. Do we think they won the first preseason game?
Yeah.
Performance-wise?
Yes.
Okay. Think they won the second preseason game performance-wise?
Sure.
Third?
No.
No. Okay. So, if you really want to say, you know, wins and losses opinion, okay, most people would say right now they're 2-1 in the preseason.
But a lot of people like Jerome, forget the scoreboard because those people are crazy. They frankly are. Most people like Jerome put more emphasis on the third preseason game. The NFL conditions you to put more emphasis on the third preseason game. So he's saying, yeah, we won performance-wise in the first two, but they're not as significant as this third one. That's everything the NFL tells you. They call it the dress rehearsal. I know you're not universal, but you don't draw any more conclusion from this game than you do the first two, or do you?
No, I mean, for me, the first, the second, the third are all important evaluation. It's the length of time that you get to evaluate is different in the third preseason game. You get to evaluate a little more just because the play time is extended for your starters.
All right.
And for your primary role players.
Let me get one in before we break here, and that would be Gil out at the Beaches. What's up, Gil? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm like all you guys. I've been following football a long time, and one thing I have learned is that you can never put any stock in the preseason. You'll get it wrong every time. But I'll tell you what my disappointment was. Is it reminded me of that San Diego game last year where the Chargers weren't playing well and came in and just cleaned our crocs. I really didn't expect to see that kind of a performance anymore. I kind of thought that was behind us, you know, so I think that was the biggest disappointment. And I could hear the people next to me saying, here we go again, same old Jags, which I don't think they are the same old Jags, but I think that explains a lot of the discontent.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, I get it. I mean, that's, you know, especially, you know, national TV game. It's the third preseason game. You want to have a good performance, you know, a good performance for where this team is at relative to everybody else in the league and the opportunity for the rest of the football nation to see your team. I get it.
All right, here's Jeff Logman along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It is Jaguars Today. Tyler Devitt here with us as well as we get you ready to wrap up the preseason on Thursday night, looking back on week three of the NFL preseason with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You like to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do it. And also the same number on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Hit us up on social media today. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Which Jaguar has been the most pleasant surprise to this point of the preseason so far. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Yeah, football season is back. That means FanDuel season is back. FanDuel.com, where you can play weekly fantasy football. In fact, we're going to have our own league. You can play head-to-head with us every single week. And the great thing, one of the many great things I think about FanDuel, is you can customize your experience. You can play as often or as infrequently as you like. Play for 3 weeks, take a month off, play every single week. It doesn't matter. It's really up to you. It's customizable. They've got more contest variety this year, beginner contest for new players only. Hey, you don't want to jump in there necessarily in the deep waters with all the fantasy football sharks. Well, they've got leagues for you. You can settle a score with a friend, go head-to-head, playing 50-50s where you can really build up your bankroll, because all you have to do is finish in the top half of the standings that week to win some cash. I love playing FanDuel. I play it every year. I play it every week during the football season. And again, we'll have an opportunity for you to play head-to-head with us. Fantasy football, you got to find out everything it's got to offer. For FanDuel, be sports rich at FanDuel.com.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. Jeff Lagerman lays down the law. Jeff Lagerman Tuesday on Jaguars Today is brought to you by Crockett Law PL Real Estate Law. Now more with Jeff Lagerman.
All right, Jaguars Today rolls on here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jags playing in just a couple more days. 4 o'clock for the pregame, 7 o'clock kick. Can you get that moved up to 6? What do you think, Logs? Any chance?
Get it moved up to 5.
5 would be all right.
12-minute quarters running clock.
Running clock. Let's just start it now, all right, and be done with
it. Yeah, I'd be all for it. What does Little League play? 8-minute quarters?
Is that what it is?
That'd be great.
Yeah, high school's 12, so...
You know, eight-minute quarters running clock. How about that?
We'll let them go 10. We'll let them go 10. They are professionals after all.
You play the whole game in 45 minutes. That'd be sweet.
It is important, though, to the evaluation of the last. How many difficult decisions do you think? Like, how many guys out of, what are they down to, 75? So they need to cut 22 more guys. Out of that group of 22, do they know pretty much in their mind, barring something injury-wise that pops up in the next few days, like, 15 of those guys, they pretty much know who they are. 18. What's your guess on how high a number?
I think it'd be easier to focus it on where the last few battles are.
Right. Wide receiver being one of them, right?
Yeah, wide receiver is a big one. I mean, is it good, you know, because, I mean, you know who you're going to keep right off
you
the top.
You know your top four.
Yeah, you know your top four. Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and Rashad Green.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after that? Is it going to be Brian Walters, or is it going to be Aurelius Ben? That's a huge question. And because Marquise Lee has shown that he's healthy, do you now feel confident and have a level of trust in Marquise Lee to where you say, okay, that last spot, now we have to dedicate solely to the performance of special teams? If that's the case, Aurelius Ben's 220 pounds. And so you probably would go with him more so than you would Brian Walters. Brian Walters is 180. But if your level of trust of Marquise Lee is not very high because, you know, look, the first couple of years he's been hurt a lot, wouldn't you like to have somebody that the quarterbacks trust? Quarterbacks trust Brian Walters. They throw him the ball all the time because he catches it. So, I mean, that's a tough decision there. Cornerback is going to be an interesting decision there.
And let Demetrius McCray go yesterday.
Yeah, but you know, now you got Dwayne Grotch, you got Josh Johnson, who, you know, the last 2 weeks
made some plays,
six,
and
sack,
a sack, yeah.
Has a little bit more veteranness to him. Aaron Colvin's going to be missing the first 4 games. That gives you a little bit of luxury to maybe keep one guy longer than you would
How
normally.
Many total will they keep?
Numbers-wise?
Mm-hmm.
At corner. I don't know.
You got House, you got Ramsey. We'll put Colvin on the shelf. So we got House, Ramsey, Amukamara, Nick Marshall.
Yeah, he makes it.
Okay, so there's 4 Grotz.
Iffy.
Okay, so maybe 5. And then if you're getting into Johnson, somebody like that, Body Calhoun, there's not that many other. We're running out of corners.
The biggest question there is numbers. I think you keep 5. You know,
so probably Grotz there for at least the first month of the season
would
be your guess.
So.
Anyway,
probably so.
Now Sample going on IR, right? He could possibly return. You could bring one guy back. You don't have to designate him any specific way anymore. But is it Josh Evans, who's been around forever? Is it Jared Wilson? Or, you know, who gets the benefit of the extra safety spot opening up?
Well, if you've evaluated special teams performance alone from this past game, Josh Wilson has got it.
Jared Wilson. Yeah.
He's got it. The play that he made at the by downing the ball inside the two.
That was pretty nice.
Really nice play. Josh Evans did not have a very good day on special teams. You know, so that's going to be an interesting thing. You know, I think the undrafted rookie's got a real strong chance there. He's got a lot of upside now, a lot of upside. And then you also have Peyton Thompson, you know, which I call him a crossover. He can play safety. He can play corner. You know, and you like him, even though he didn't play this past week. They like him.
Sure.
And for good reason, because he's got a lot of positional flexibility and the guy can play special teams. So that may give you the luxury of saying, you know, Josh, we appreciate everything you've given, because you know what? If there's anybody that should be a hard release, it's Josh Evans, because he has played through injury.
Caldwell loves him.
For a couple years, and he's, you know, one of the first draft picks that they've had.
Yeah.
You know, and you never like to part ways with a guy like that that's given you everything that he's gotten and has played hurt.
Right. Reliable, in the way he's described, reliable, just a pro's pro kind of guy for Josh Evans. What about at linebacker? I heard you guys discuss this on the broadcast the other night. You got Telvin, you got Puz, you got Scooter, you got Miles Jack. Those are your four locks. Jordan Tripp, they like a lot on special teams.
Hayes Pollard, Jordan Tripp.
Davis, depending on how you
classify him. But I think that Jordan Tripp, Hayes Pollard rounded out to make it six.
Yeah, okay, Tripp and Pollard, and you think Davis, if he makes it, it's going to be counted as a Leo, as far as that goes. Where else? They released Nick Jacobs, right?
Yeah, and that's a little surprising, but at the same token, I mean, you got some good players there now.
Right.
You know, and I made this point during the broadcast, because we're during the broadcast of the game, you know, Mercedes, the expected backup to Mercedes was always Nick Jacobs, right? I mean, that's your assumption.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big body. He can block. And
if you're looking for that in-line tight end, he'd be the guy.
Yeah. Can Koyak do that? Yeah, probably so. Does he do it at the same level that those other guys? No, but he's going to be active on game day, plays pretty good on special teams. He does that move fullback type of stuff. So he really has made a big jump from last year to this year. I give him a lot of credit, because last year I didn't think much of him, and I think this year he came out, and from day one I was like, you know what, this looks like a different player. So you got to give him credit. But also, what if you had an injury to Julius Thomas? The offense would have to change.
That's why Neil Sterling has a shot.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So now you're thinking, okay, four, and then a practice squad guy. And Braden Bauman would be the practice squad guy.
Right. And those are the only tight ends on the roster.
That's
so,
it.
Yeah.
They're all going to make it.
Right. They're definitely keeping four on the
active
53.
Roster. That's right.
Right. Okay. Offensive line, as you go through here, whatever the starters are on opening day, we know that Kelvin Beachum, Luke Joeckel, Brandon Linder, A.J. Cann, and Jeremy Parnell are on the football team, right? Shatley is on the football team, right? He's going to be Wells. I don't know what the timetable is for his thumb right now.
I'd like to know. This is something that I'm not sure on, of where you can put him. You know, is he eligible for PUP? I don't know. Can he go to IR with maybe, you know, being returned at some point? You know,
that's a lot of guys on IR that you can only bring one back.
That's right.
You know, potentially a lot of guys
that's
on IR.
So, you know, I don't know. I'd like to, and that's one question that I have for Dave Caldwell that I have to ask him, is what can you do with Josh Wells? Can he go on PUP?
Is it Reed versus Bernardo for one spot? Bernardo?
Yes.
Still confused.
Yep.
All right, so one of those guys will make it.
I think one of them. And
any guesses to who that leader in the clubhouse?
For me, I take Reed.
Okay.
He's more physical.
How did McKenzie play the other
night?
Played
well.
He did?
Played well. Now, he switched sides and played well, which, you know, put a star, you know, on his side of the ledger.
Yeah.
You know, because he played left and then he played right. Now, Chris Reed, I think that's going to be – If there was one area on offense you really wanted to look closely at, because, you know, the wide receiver thing is going to be what they're comfortable at. They've seen what they've seen, and they know what they've got. At the offensive line position, though, you want to see Reed again, and you want to see Bernardo again. And I think that's going to be something that when the film is turned on after the game, the coaches will be looking, and Dave Caldwell will be looking at that very closely.
All right, a total offensive lineman, 8 or 9? That's it. That's the decision, right?
Well, I'm thinking now 9.
Right, because of some injury situation.
Well, because of what they've done by releasing Nick Jacobs.
Right.
That tells me that, okay, Nick Jacobs is an inline blocker. Now I think they go 9
okay.
on the offensive line.
All right. Omame?
Pat, yeah, he's going to make it.
Yeah, okay. So he's going to be one of your tackles there. So if they go 9, you got Omame, Shatley, whoever gets that guard spot that we just talked about, mm-hmm. that's 8 right there. The likely guy would be Wells to give you your 9.
Yeah, because me and Baselli were talking about this, and he told me, he said, look, I don't think they can put him on PUP because it was an injury that occurred
right.
during training camp.
Right.
And I think he's right.
I think if you certainly you can't put him on the preseason PUP.
Right.
If you
but I don't know about the regular
training
season.
Camp. I'm not sure how that works either. If you get hurt.
You got to get clarification.
I think
on
you
that.
Might be able to do that on the physically able to perform, but I'm not 100% sure about that either. Quarterback. Position. We're discussing this off the air a minute ago. You know, Tony is saying, hey, maybe they give Brandon Allen the run of it. Then your point being, what if he plays really well and you're trying to stash him on the practice squad?
Well,
right?
We talked about this a little bit during a break, and it's probably a good discussion to have again here on the air, and that if he plays well, you know, most teams in the league aren't going to take a draft pick rookie from another team because he's subject to waiver wire. So anybody, you know, it's not like you can cut him and say, put him right on practice squad. He has to clear waivers first. And most of the teams aren't going to take a 6th-round draft pick rookie and sign him to their roster or claim him on waivers where he would be on their active roster. Most teams. But there's a couple teams, you know, the Cleveland Browns have a quarterback issue. The San Francisco 49ers had a quarterback issue. Now it might even be bigger.
Do the Browns have a quarterback issue right now?
I think they do, yeah.
They settled on RG3. They still have McCown there as the veteran backup, and they have Cody Kessler, who they drafted
mm-hmm.
earlier this year, in the 4th round, which
right.
you would think they'd have something invested in him and want to keep him around. So,
if you're a franchise, and it's basically a throwaway year. You know, and here's the other thing: is McCown? If you've got McCown and you got RG3, is it worthwhile keeping McCown and RG3? You know, because you know what they are. I mean, you certainly know what McCown is,
right? But I think they look at it like if Kessler's not ready, right, to play this year, and RG3 has had a history of injuries, they might have to have that veteran back.
Yeah, you might.
McCown. But, all right,
you
know, so anyway.
But it's a throwaway year. My point is that this year is a throwaway year for a lot of teams. Not a lot. For a few teams. And especially a throwaway year to where they would sacrifice one roster spot to bring in a guy that they really like through the draft process, but just had maybe other pressing needs, but still have a quarterback issue, that he could be a guy that could be claimed. I don't think he would be. For me, I'm keeping 2.
You're thinking, yeah, you're going to try to put him through waivers and put him on your practice squad.
I take that risk.
All right, so we'll see how that plays out. Any other position we didn't
hit
on, Tony?
No, I was just trying to get some clarity on the pup list rules. And from what I can tell, if you're on the pup list going into training camp, there's a reserve pup list that you can be on at the beginning of the regular season. So you have to be activated within the first 6 weeks or you're designated for IR. You cannot put a player who has participated in training camp on the pup list.
On the pup list, okay.
But but there's a different on that pup list. But see, the preseason pup and then a regular season pup is different. That's what I need to get clarification
on. I think it's the deal is there's the pup list that's for the preseason, for the training camp. I think if you're on that, you can be put on the other.
Right.
I don't think you can be put on the other unless you're on the pup list.
Right. You can't practice, get hurt. I'm looking at somebody who's tweeted us the rules to this. As a matter of fact, the pup list, Josh Wathen at B-Town, 2 Jacks, and it says a player who finishes the preseason still on the pup list can then be placed on the regular season pup list, seeming to indicate that unless, like Tony said, unless you're
but
on the pup list.
The language is trust me, I read the rules.
Right.
And it's there's not something that says a player that it is on the active roster in training camp cannot go on the regular season PUP.
For the preseason PUP, a player who has been placed on the list cannot – once he has taken the field for practice, even for a few minutes, cannot go on the preseason PUP. Anyway, We'll find out what they do with some of these designations in the upcoming couple of days. Well, we won't see anything until after this Thursday night game because they're down to 75 where they need to be.
Yeah, I think it's, and then Saturday by 4 p.m. they've got to be at 53.
Right. So the big wave of 22 we wave goodbye to. All right, we got a timeout coming up here. We'll come back. Fan feedback question of the day asking you who has been the most pleasant surprise for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take a look at some of your responses to that. And if you'd like to get in with another call or two or a text to Jeff Loggeman at 641-1010, you're welcome to do that as well. With Fat Tony and Jeff Loggeman, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. FanDuel.com is back, just like football season is back, folks, and I'm excited about it. We're going to have our own listener leagues here. You're going to be able to play head-to-head against myself, Tony, Tyler, and many others, and actually win some real cash. FanDuel.com has upped the variety of their contests this year. You can try beginner contests for new players only. One of the big complaints about daily fantasy sports, too many experts, and they're winning all the money. Well, they have specific beginner leagues available to you. You can sign up today by going to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and if you use my code Mike, FanDuel's got a special offer for new users. Deposit today, you'll get five free entries to NFL beginner contests. That's one free entry a week for 5 weeks in a row. They're 50-50s where the top half of the players will win cash. Don't forget to use my code Mike when you sign up to get those five free entries. Void where prohibited, but I tell you what, you're going to love it. If you haven't tried FanDuel before, we'll be talking about them a lot during the season, and we'll be playing head-to-head with you. FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike to sign up for those five free entries.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars made three moves to reduce the roster to 75 players. Moves that came this morning involved cutting defensive end Bjorn Warner and tight end Nick Jacobs. Safety James Sample was moved to injured reserve. Sample was a fourth-round selection by the Jaguars in the 2015 NFL Draft. He was expected to compete with Jonathan Cyprian for the starting strong safety position, but he suffered a shoulder injury in preseason week one against the New York Jets. And tonight, Helmets and Heels will be live at Empire City Gastropub. Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson will join the ladies. Make sure to get out there. It all starts at 7 p.m. And remember, between now and September 11th, head to jaguars.com/get-in-the-game to register for your chance to be on the field during pregame festivities at our home game against the Oakland Raiders. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI.
All right, coming down the stretch here, let's check in on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, at least the ones we can decipher.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's tough. Let's see here. What do we have? Can coordinators design simple plays that the O-line and D-line can execute successfully? More success in the trenches. How much of poor line play, not necessarily even specific to the Jaguars, comes from over-complicating things?
Well, the preseason's not overly complicated. It's very simplified because they're trying to evaluate the personnel based on the ability to play fast and play strong. You know, so you're not complicating things. You're not checking things a lot of times. You know, there's many times that the offense has plays called and then they get the line of scrimmage in the preseason and go, it's not a great play for this defense, but you know what, we're going to run it anyway. You know, and there's same thing for the defense. You line up and you go, you know what, we probably shouldn't have cover zero here or cover one, you know, or the zone dog for this down and distance, but we're going to play it anyway. You know, so once you get to the regular season, scheme is more of a factor, but also the really good teams are the ones that you know what they're going to run, but you just can't stop it because they have complementary plays that you think might be one play, but it's the complement to it. You know, so regular season, that's when you start talking about scheme. But right now in the preseason, there's no scheme.
All right, let's move on. Here's another one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Why would the Jags keep Nick Marshall? Seems like he's always out of position and getting burned. Is it just his potential that they love?
Well, he's long. He's very, very raw when it comes to, and young, to play in the cornerback position. Yes, it's about his potential. Would he be the first guy in if you had an issue at cornerback? Probably not anymore, you know, whereas last year he had to play in mm-hmm. certain situations. This year he's not going to have to play, but he's a great athlete. He has return ability, and also he has special teams ability. And that's what you start evaluating when you start talking about some of those later spots at the cornerback position. Potential and then special teams ability, and he has both.
This one from Bert. Did Fowler get benched, or was a message sent? I'll interpret it that way. Or was it just a thing where they truly just wanted to get Ngakoue a look? And I will argue, Jeff, if you want to get him a look on first down, do you have to do it on the very first series? I would think no. They still need to get a big look at Fowler, right? To me, I thought message, when you combine what Todd Wash said during the week about Fowler needing to be a pro in all phases of the game, film room, all these different things, I interpreted it as, hey, number three overall pick, don't take it for granted.
I think that's exactly what it was.
All right.
I think it was a convenient way to send a message that was not glaring. And because if you go to the week before, what did Todd Wash talk about with Dante Fowler? The need to gain a level of maturity, to study, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then the following week.
Right.
You know.
Does it worry? I mean, I'm not trying to over dramatize this one situation, but when Pollard takes it back to the house, Dante with his visor on running out there getting a 15-yard penalty, he didn't do it maliciously.
No.
But isn't that an example of, this is something, hey, don't get caught up in the moment necessarily and think your way through these things a little bit.
Yeah, I think when you listen to the coaches talk about Dante, you hear a lot of one word, maturity. And he has to mature, I think, in a lot of different ways. But there's no debating the skill set that he has. I mean, holy cow, he's got a great skill set. But he's got to mature. He's got to mature physically. He has to mature mentally, emotionally, and those are the things that they want to see out of him. Now, is Ngakoue a guy that could take snaps away from him on first and second down once you get to the regular season? He could, but, you know, watching what Ngakoue did on first and second down wasn't very impressive. You know, he's still mainly a pass rush guy. He's got a little bit better against the run, but he's still got a long ways to go against the run, and he's got a long ways to go to become a contributor on special teams. That needs to happen now.
All right, one more here on the text line. Justin in Seattle says, I mostly had a problem with the run fits on defense. Offense just caught a bad break with the fumble, and I think part of that was the ball that came from Blake. It was a wobbly ball, hard to reel in. Also, can you tell Luke to keep his head up when run blocking? I've seen him lower his head and try to bull rush a defender, and the defender just lets him go by and makes a play on the run. Is that an issue with Jokel not looking up, you know, dropping his head?
Well, I mean, in pass protection, yeah. In run blocking, I've got no complaints about Luke Jokel's run blocking. None. He's a very good run blocker. The one that he's referring to is the one where he whiffed on Geno. And again, I'm going to say this. Geno Atkins is not your average player. Geno Atkins is a hell of a player. Geno Atkins does that to Pro Bowl level players.
All right, last one, and I'm going to ask you not to answer this until next Tuesday, but it says, I'm hoping for three yes or no answers from Mike, Tony, and Jeff. Do the Jags make the playoffs this year? Buddy, we got the fourth preseason game to focus on, and that's the only thing that's important right now.
We
okay?
have to have a deep evaluation of the Atlanta preseason game before we can determine that.
We got to see who these last 22 cuts are going to be.
Right.
We will talk about that, though, obviously, next week.
And I do want to ask you, Jeff, while we have you here, we haven't talked about him a bunch today, but Miles Jack got his first look with the ones out there on Sunday night. How did he look?
He looked good. He looked good. And I think what's impressive about him is you can still see a little bit of hesitancy and what he is expected to do. But once he kind of makes his mind up, the journey and the process of that, he looks really good. He's athletic. He's got speed. He's got great balance. He's got ability to hit. The decision-making process, though, that will come in time.
All right, Tony. Fan Feedback Spotlight today brought to you by our friends at the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Just looking for the most pleasant surprise to this point of the preseason. What kind of nominees did we get?
Here's what we got from Sheldon. He said, Tyrone Holmes, whipped Bucks players in practice, has only backed it up during the games. From Jags and Goats, Yeldon can, and not a surprise because he's simply awesome, Miles Jack, hashtag Jaguars. And from Jeff, we got Chris Smith. He's one of the few putting any pressure on the quarterback. From Duval Doom, I think it's been Chris Ivory. He's better than I expected, to be honest. From Chris, I honestly think it has been TJ Yeldon. He seems much more confident, will flourish with Ivory. And from Demetrius, another vote here for Chris Smith. A complete afterthought these past two seasons. He has shown up in this offseason. I know Chris Smith has been a guy that, you know, we've talked to you about a lot over the course of the last couple of years. Can he do enough on special teams to make this 53-man roster?
I think he has more special teams ability than a Tyrone Holmes. Tyrone Holmes is a little bit limited as an athlete. But, yeah, he's got some speed. And most importantly, he's got the desire to do that on special teams. Yeah, I think he can contribute on special teams.
Now, all right.
Will he ever be a frontline pass rusher? No.
Logs on different, obviously, schedule this week with a Thursday night game. Where can Jaguar fans catch you over the next few days?
I'm pretty much done for the week.
Are you?
Yeah, because, you know, it's just the game on Thursday
right.
night. There's no Gus Bradley show,
That's
no Jaguars
true.
Thursday. Yeah. And next week we start our Wednesday
little downtime,
show.
A little 3-day weekend come up.
Yeah. It's good. Right. It's good to have a little downtime.
Right on, brother. I'm with you. All right. Next Tuesday, we will give you our predictions on what happens during the season and everything else or anything else that comes up Jaguar related. He is Jeff Logman. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you. Enjoy right. it.
Talk
Look forward to
you.
Next week.
You got it. We'll talk to you on the pregame on Thursday coming up. Logs. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping things up on this Tuesday. Hey, don't forget, if you want in one of the Jaguars Today fantasy leagues, you can go to my timeline, Tony's timeline, go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Bottom line is you're going to have to email me at MikeD@1010XL.com. Tell us why you deserve a spot in the league. I'll just tell you right now, this whole, I'm the best, I'm going to beat everybody, I'm going to prove it. Bro, I played the best. I beat the best. I gotten beat by the best. You ain't going to impress me with that macho rhetoric of yours. So be creative. Make me laugh. You got a better chance of getting in the league. Everybody thinks they're the best. All right. As the defending champ of both Jaguars Today leagues, I've yet to meet them. Okay. I'm just going to throw that one out there for you. And I'm coming back to reclaim my titles in both of them. Don't shake your head at me, Tyler Devitt. Champion in both leagues last year, right here. Thank you very much. All right. Email me if you want a spot. We're drafting next Tuesday and Wednesday night, so you can't be in both leagues. If you're in the Hacker Fantasy League or you want anything else from 1010XL in the last 30 days, you are not eligible to win a spot. And that's it. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Stick around because the crew of the Midday Chalk is coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Certainly not the first year we took it to the limit.
You guys have a good day. Peace.